Saman finally broke the silence.
"It is most odd," he said,
sounding strangely moved.
"But I have been working up my nerve to do the same thing."
"What? Destroy the transmitter?"
Leo asked.
"Yes. As a matter of fact, I dreamed a few hours ago I had done it. I felt good about it. When I woke up, I was surprised to find it intact."
"Why would you wish to destroy it?"
Arcibald asked.
"I've been observing its habits. Once every orbit, it comes into line of sight with a facility on the ground and establishes a link. Then it empties its buffer, clears its queue."
He went on to translate these Eta terms into Orth. The queue was like a stack of leaves with messages written on them, which were transmitted down to Arb whenever possible. They were sent down in the same order as they stood in the queue, like customers waiting in line at a store. "So these things in the queue are, for example, the text messages I've been writing back to my support cell on the ground?" I asked.
"How many have you written?"
he asked me.
"Maybe 5.
Leo? More like 10.
Osa?"
Saman polled everyone. None had written more than a few messages.
"The number of items in the queue at this time,"
he announced,
"is over 1,400.
"What are they?"
Arcibald asked.
"Can you read them?"
"No. They are all encrypted, and no one saw fit to give me the key. Most are quite small, probably text messages, biomedical data, and associated bogons. But some of them are thousands of times larger. Since I am the only one here with knowledge of such things, I'll tell you what would be obvious to an Eta, which is that the large items are most likely recorded sound and video files."
I could think of any number of explanations for this, but Arcibald jumped directly to the most dramatic and, I had to admit, probably correct one.
"Surveillance!"
Saman made no objection.
"I have been watching the behavior of the queue during my idle moments, of which I have many. The big files behave in certain remarkable ways. For one thing, they get priority over the little ones. The system advances them to the foremost position in the queue as soon as they are created. For another, the creation of these files seems to coincide with beginnings and ends of conversations. As an example, I saw Erasmus having a private conversation with Jessery a while ago, between about 10:15 and 10:30 hours. The next time Jessery connected himself to the reticule, which was only about 15 minutes ago, a large file sprang into existence in the queue and was promptly moved to the top. Time of creation, 10:17. Last modified, 10:30.
"Is this occurring with all of our conversations?"
Leo asked. And the tone of his voice told me, as if I ever could have doubted it, that all of this was as new to him as it was to me.
"No, only some."
"I propose an experiment," Jessery said.
"Saman, does it still work?" "Oh, yes. Fra Jed destroyed only the transmitter. The Syndev still functions as if nothing had changed."
"Are you monitoring the queue now?"
"Of course."
Jessery disconnected and motioned for me to do the same. We formed a private connection. Jessery launched into a very old, well-worn dialogue that we'd had to memorize as FIDs, a verbal proof that the square root of 2 was an irrational number. I did my best to hold up my end of it. When we were finished, we reconnected to the reticule and waited a few seconds.
"Nothing,"
Saman said. Again we disconnected and formed a two-person link. "Do you remember back at Edhar," I began, "when we and the other incanters would sit around after dinner making everything killers out of cornstalks and shoelaces?"
"Of course," Jessery said. "Those were really good everything killers because they could assassinate filthy pendendrums like no one's business."
"That'll come in handy when we betray Arb to the pedestal," I pointed out. And so on in that vein for a couple of minutes. Then we reconnected to the reticule.
"There's a new file," Saman announced, "at the head of the queue."
"Okay," I announced. "So the pendendrums seem to be really keen on knowing if we talk about certain things, like the everything killers."
"Ah,"
Saman exclaimed.
"A new file has just been opened, and it is growing larger the longer I keep talking."
The topic of the everything killers had not yet been broached to the group at large, and so some people had a lot of questions, which Leo fielded. Meanwhile, Jessery and I continued the experiment we had begun, breaking and re-establishing contact with the reticule a couple of dozen times over the course of the following half hour. Every time we broke away, we'd try a few more words just to see which topics triggered the automatic recording system. This was a haphazard business, but we were able to discover several more trigger words, including attack, neutron, mass murder, insane, dishonor, unconscionable, refuse, and mutiny. Every time we reconnected, we heard more ideas for possible trigger words, since the conversation was quite naturally evolving in such a way that all the words listed above, and many more, were frequently put to use. Things were becoming extremely emotional, and it was good in a way that Jessery and I were able to jack in and out of it and treat its contents as an object of theoretical study. But after a while, it reached a point where we reckoned we had better join and stay joined. Archibald had just asked a rather probing question of the Veilers. Where did their ultimate allegiance lie? Fra Osa was answering.
To my Fras and Sures of the Ringing Veil, I have a loyalty that can never be dissolved precisely because it is no rational thing, but a bond like that of family. And I will not waste oxygen by discussing all of the nesting and overlapping loyalty groups to which I belong. This cell, the Mathic world, the Convox, the people of Arb, and the community, extending even beyond the limits of this cosmos, that unites us with the likes of Jules Verne Durand.
C'est juste, answered the Lateran, which we'd figured out was his way of expressing approval.
To untangle all acting loyalties and obligations is not possible in the thick of an emergence, and so one falls back on simple responses that arise from one's training.